Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to the Light of Portland with Pastor Sherelle. Let's talk about the things that affect the body of Christ in this world today and how we can truly impact the world. Enjoy the next song, and following that will be the voice of Pastor Sherelle live in Portland.
Just one touch, that's all we need from Jesus. Just one drop of oil, amen.
Just one touch from you. Just one drop of your precious oil. Just one word from you. One moment in your presence. Oh, one moment in your presence. One moment in your presence. Just one touch from you. Just one drop of your precious oil. Just one word from you. One moment in your presence. One moment in your presence changes everything.
Just one touch from you. From you. Just one drop of your precious. Your precious oil, Lord. Just one word from you. One moment in your presence, Jesus. One moment in your presence, Lord. It just takes one moment in your presence, and it will change everything. One moment in your presence, Jesus. We're gonna wait for your presence, Jesus.
If you're gonna wait on him, won't you lift your hands and let him know?
Father, we're gonna wait for you. Father God, we're waiting for you, Jesus.
I'll wait, no matter, no matter how long it takes, no matter how long it takes, no matter how long it takes, I'll wait on you, Jesus.
But just listen to this line. One moment in your presence.
One moment in his presence changes everything. I hope that you have listened for the Lord and decided to allow the Lord to bless you and to fill you, to cover you, and to keep you, knowing that one moment in his presence can change your life circumstances, can change the outcome of anything, can even change the way you think and change the way you feel. One moment in his presence changes everything. Good evening, good evening, and good evening. I'm so excited that you've decided to join Light of Portland broadcast. I'm Pastor Sherelle Pennington, and we are live here in Portland, Oregon. And it is an honor to be with you tonight. We are going to have a good time in the Lord tonight. And with that, we want to give honor to Bishop W. Smith, who is the presiding prelate of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle, to Bishop Belinda Camel, a spiritual mother of mine, and to the Butterfields that are part of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle and provide us with this platform to minister the Word of God. Tonight, saints of God, we know that there is nothing like God. There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing too much for God. And there is nothing that you could do to separate you from the Lord except to turn your back on him. He loves you, and he said that he would never leave you nor forsake you, but that he would cover and keep you. Tonight, we are in for a treat with the Word of God tonight. I'm excited about the Word of God, saints, because we have a special guest. We have someone that has been on the Light of Portland broadcast who is a spouse of a speaker on the broadcast that is with us every fifth Sunday. And so I am very excited when we get husbands and wives and we are allowed to hear the Word of God coming from someone that has the household of faith. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer tonight. Gracious and heavenly Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We exalt you. We magnify your holy name. We give you glory and honor, for you truly are worthy of all the honor and praise that we can give you. I pray, Lord God, that you would bless every ear that is attentive tonight. Touch the sick, O God, and heal the body, Father. Touch the faint-hearted, O God, and restore their strength, O God. Touch the broken, oh God. Put the pieces back together. Lord God, we just want to honor you. We just want to glorify you. We just want to magnify you. We want to hear a word from you. We want to allow you to speak to us, oh God, that we might know the direction that you choose for us to go in. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise, for you are the great I am. And we just want you to know that tonight, Father, we expect a move from you. We ask that Holy Spirit would come in and sup with us and have his way. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Minister Nigel to go ahead and press 1 on their phone so that I can bring you live the air. And while we're doing that, I want us to about the Lord right now. Think about the glory of God and how much he wants to use you. I'm pausing. Think about what would life be if you did not know the Lord. Where would you be right now? Well, tonight, saints of God, give God glory, honor, and praise, because that is not your fate right now. That is not your fate for your future. And so tonight we have a man of God, a man that loves the Lord, a man that serves God fervently, a man of God that knows that there is nothing like God and lets him lead him, lets him guide him. He is a father. He is a husband. He is a servant man of God. And tonight, Minister Nigel, I pray that the Lord would use you, that the grace of God would surround you, that the blessings and the favor of God would shower through you as you bless the men and women of God on the broadcast tonight. You are live on the air.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you, Pastor Sherelle, for the introduction. I give honor to you tonight for having me broadcast. I'm filling in for Co-Pastor Laws, who did a dynamic job of preaching at Total Truth Restoration Ministries, and who had just a busy schedule today. But I give honor to her, too, for trusting me to fill in for her. I give honor to God, who's the head of my life. I give honor to Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and Savior, and to the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth. I give honor to my pastor, my bishop over at Total Truth Restoration Ministries, and I give honor to my wife and my kids. And so I'm so happy to be on this broadcast. The title of this message is going to be, well, let me pray first. Oh, Father God, as I come before your throne of grace, Lord God, I ask that your will would be done and not my will, Lord God. I ask that, Father God, that you allow your spirit, Father God, to give edification to this word, Father God, a word that with people, Lord God. And that, Father God, that you would have your way, that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified, Father God. And that, Father God, that the hearts of your people would be ready to receive your word, Father God. Because, Father God, we know that it is your word that delivers us, that you have sent to deliver us from our destruction, Father God, to give us hope, Lord God, Father God, until the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And so, Father God, we thank you. And I ask all these blessings by faith in your son Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen, amen, amen. And so I'm so happy to be, like I said, again on this broadcast. As we know that this is 2019 that is fresh, and we know that the year has already started, and there's a lot of things that are going on in the world. And the Bible talks about it being a great falling away because of people who say that they was of the body or that proclaim Jesus Christ with their mouth but never allowed or made the decision to allow Jesus to be their Lord. And because of what they're going to see, because of the things that are going to take place in the kingdom of men, you're going to have people that know the truth, that have tasted the things of God, that have experienced God move in their lives. And these things are going to cause them to be cowards and backtrack and turn their back on God and leave God completely because they haven't prepared themselves because they haven't prepped themselves. And so we believe, and I know that 2019 is a special year for the believer. And so I encourage every believer that we must prepare ourselves and equip ourselves so that we can be able to take full advantage of everything that God is going to disperse in this season for the believer. And as he moves in a way that he have not moved in this age with the body of Christ, we have to be prepared. And so the message comes from we have to face up so we can level up. And in this season, the body of Christ have to level up. I hear the body of Christ being involved in people who proclaim to know God and to know Jesus and say that God is God and he's sovereign and the earth and the fullness thereof is his. And we proclaim that we know Jesus Christ and that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, and he's the King that sits on the throne in heaven, and he and all authority and a power is subject to him. But on the other hand, we have believers that are being dismayed. We have believers that are focusing more on the furlough or focusing on what Trump is doing, focusing on what's going on in the world, focusing on what R. Kelly is doing or what's going on in the world, which the Bible already told us that these things was going to take place because of the kingdom of men, because you have men that are ruling and that are imperfect. And God already told us not to put our trust in men, not to actually hold on to the things of men and think that those things are our provider, to think those things are what is our substance and our sustainer, that God already told us not to put hope in the kingdom of men. And so when you have believers that are wavering because of what they see, when you have believers that are starting to question God because of what is taking place in the kingdom of men. And so now it's time for the believer to face up so they can level up. The Bible tells us that he has already given each and every believer the measure of faith, but there is a choice that we have to make when we're talking about faith, because we understand that faith gives hope. And so we're going to go to John 16. We're going to go to John 16 and 33, where it talks about and it talks about faith. And we know that faith is one of the most powerful tools that God has given the believer for the believer to be able to have hope in dire situations, to have hope in the midst of trials and tribulation, in the midst of hard times. We know that faith is what God has given us that's going to sustain us until salvation. And so it said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And in the world, let me go back a little bit. Sorry about that. Let me go back to 31. John 16, the 31st verse through the 33rd verse. Do you now believe, Jesus replied, a time is coming, and in fact come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so Jesus is letting the disciples know that before he was about to go to the place of great suffering and great trial and great tribulation, he was letting them know that this world that we live in, because we're living in a world that is fallen, we're living in the kingdom of men, which is imperfect. So we shouldn't be surprised that Donald Trump is imperfect. We shouldn't be surprised that our House of Representatives and our senators are imperfect. We shouldn't be surprised at the things that we see that are going on in the kingdom of men. In the kingdom of men, to those who do not believe, those who are not, that have not established their systems and their authority on the principles of God. So we as believers should not be surprised. We should not be spending our time trying to figure out what Trump is going to do and what he's not going to do. We shouldn't be spending our time talking about what he should do and what he shouldn't do, because we have a bigger agenda that God has called us as believers to do. We are to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Most of our time, most of our living, most of our study time, most of the things that we're going to be involved in should be kingdom agenda. And so you have more believers that are caught up in the world, and now they become stagnant. They become non-productive in the body of Christ. And so God is standing back looking like, okay, you said that I'm God. You said that I'm still in control of everything. You said that authority and all power is ordained by me. So what is all of this about that you can't do nothing because of what decision that's going to be made in the White House? What decision that Congress is going to make? What decision that the House of Representatives is going to make? What decision that the Supreme Court is going to make? But God is saying that it's not a problem with the government why we can't get what we need to get done. It's not a problem with Trump that the body of Christ can't get what we need to get done. It's not a problem with the Supreme Court. It's not a problem with the House of Representatives or the senators. It's not a problem with the politicians. It's not a problem with Hollywood. It's a problem with the believer, why the believer cannot accomplish what they need to accomplish because God's already given you a measured amount of faith. So what are you going to do? Are you going to trust me and use the faith that I have given you so you can be able to achieve and attain the things that I have designed and have ordained for your life? And so now we put the responsibility that God has given us as believers. If we profess Jesus Christ with our mouth, if we have believed within our heart, then the responsibility lies on us. Because the Bible clearly speaks, God clearly says that he has given us the ability. He has given us the ability through faith to accomplish the impossible. And so when you look at Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so when you look at hope, the Bible say that Jesus Christ is our hope. And so now we got believers that are hoping in the things that men hope in and wonder why they're getting, why they're being disappointed, why they're being dismayed, why they're being confused, why they're running around like nomads. Because they say they are of the body, but and the Bible say that our hope is Jesus Christ, but we as believers don't believe that Jesus is our hope. Because we wouldn't even entertain these conversations. We wouldn't even entertain these things that are going on in the kingdom of men when the Bible clearly tells us that we're just passing through. We're ambassadors for the kingdom of God, not for the kingdom of men. And so when we spend our time, our limited time, our time that is limited by God that we're supposed to be using to get things done for the kingdom, when we spend our time on things that are temporal things, things that have no effect or say-so on our eternal salvation, that has no effect or say-so on the purpose and the plans that God has for our life, then what do that say about us as far as us being children of God that's supposed to be operating in a way that we have faith? So it's time for us to face up so that we can level up, so we can get to the level that God is at, and so that we can operate in such a way that we can operate so we can achieve our purpose, so we can be able to achieve the things of God. So a lot of this has to do with us being selfish. The reason why we won't trust God when it comes to the things of God, because I'm selfish. I really don't want to do what you have called me to do to the magnitude that you have called me to do it. Now, I'll use faith when I need something from you, when I want a car, when I want a house, when I want a husband, but I won't use my faith so that kingdom things can advance. And so when you look at the Bible, men and women of God, when you look at times of old, when you look at the Old Testament, the New Testament, men and women of God use their faith so the kingdom of God can be pushed forward. Jesus used his faith in God to push forward the kingdom of God and the agenda of God, not the agenda for himself, not the agenda of men, not the agenda of the Jews who thought that he had came back to save them or to put the Jewish people back in their rightful perspective place. This is where the problem lies at. We have to draw a line in the sand with our faith according to the word of God, because the Bible tells us that the word of God is the sword. So we have to take the sword and draw a line in the sand and dig in through faith, standing on the word of God no matter how it looks, no matter what people are saying, no matter how it feels, no matter how it smells. We know what the word of God says through faith that God has given us hope. And so the Bible say that Jesus is our hope. If you look at Galatians 1 and 27, 1 Timothy 1 and 1, Titus 2 and 13, Hebrews 6, 18 and 20. And when you look at this word hope, however, when looking at hope from a biblical perspective, we find that hope is not some sort of wish someone makes upon a star, like we hope we get promotion or we hope we win in contest. No, hope is an anchor for the soul that is sure and steadfast or unmovable, that provides us an eternal entry into salvation through Jesus Christ by the word of God. And you can find that in Romans 10 and 17, Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. Therefore, in this context, faith is the substance through which God saves us. And that is in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So faith is the substance. Faith is the mechanism that God uses to save us. And so if you truly to be saved, it's going to take faith, because that's the mechanism that God has chosen to save those who say that they love him, that who say that they trust him, who say that they believe in him. So we know that we're living in a world that is imperfect, that is dying, that is failing. But why would we involve ourselves? Why would we spend our time on things that has no real say, that has no play, that has no stake in our salvation? And this is the reason why that Jesus, we have to remember that Jesus is our hope. If you hope in anything else, if you hope in yourself, it's going to fail you. If you hope in men, it's going to fail you. If you hope in the government, it's going to fail you. I don't care who they put in the White House. If you hope in men, they are going to fail you. If you hope in politicians, they are going to fail you, because they are men. Men have extremity. They're not God, all wise. They're not all knowing. Men are going to fail. The system of men, if you put your hope in the system of men, it's going to fail you. But the Bible tells us that God has given us a system that cannot fail, that cannot go bankrupt, that cannot be replaced. There is no refund that can take place with the life and the shedding of the blood and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important that our hope be in Jesus Christ, that our faith be in Jesus Christ. No matter what people are saying, no matter what people start believing in, no matter what new thing come out, no matter how much they're saying that Jesus is not real, no matter how much they're saying that the word of God is no longer true, that the word of God has changed over time, no matter how much men try to change the word of God, but we have something that confirms what God has said is true, and that is the Holy Spirit. And so we have sure that we are prepping ourselves in this time. This is a time for preparation for the believer to be able to stand for this time that is coming upon the world. This is a time for the believer to prepare themselves. And so we're going to see those that you're going to be able to tell those who've been preparing themselves. Because all of a sudden you're going to hear some people start talking different. People that you knew who God was, who talked about Jesus, who had tasted Jesus, who had tasted the power thereof, but denied it. Because why? They're attached to the world and not to Jesus. It's a difference, Jesus being your Savior, based off of Jesus being your Lord. See, and that's where the problem comes in, because some people don't want to submit. Some people don't want to trust Jesus by faith. And that's why the Bible talks about a great falling away, because the believer have to prepare themselves. Because if we don't prepare ourselves, then we can be deceived just like anybody else. If the believer, those that are claiming that they believe Jesus, that they should be preparing themselves in this time, not worrying about what's going on in the world. The world is going to do what the world is going to do. But the question is, what are you going to do? You who claim to be ambassador of Christ, are you going to straddle the fence? Have you really lowered your anchor and you're steadfast and you're unmovable in the word of God, in the faith that you say that you have, that you're not wavering? Because you know that what's going on in the world, that what we see is not what it really is. Who it looks like that is in control, that's not how it really is. The Bible, our God, the Holy Spirit has confirmed this within our spirit, that Jesus is the king of the earth, that Jesus is the king of humanity, that all authority and power that has been given unto men has been given by God. All power, all authority. It don't matter if you like it or not. God is sovereign. He don't care if you, he don't care care if you like that he put Trump in the White House. He don't care. He's God. He know more than you. When did it become that you knew more than God? When did it become that you created God and God didn't create you? God don't care how you feel or what you think. God does what is best for his people. He said everything works for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. So he don't care about your feelings or how you feel or what you think. He's doing what is best for the believer. And so this is the reason why we can't get caught up in these things, because God is still in control. And this is why the believer must face up. You think what we're seeing taking place in the White House or something? Wait till this thing really open up. Wait till this thing really get the rubber meets the road. Wait till it get closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ and you see the deception that's going to go out amongst humanity, that's going to go out amongst men. This ain't nothing what we're seeing now. You think it's bad. America hasn't seen bad. You better ask some of those folks in China, can't worship. Their churches are being torn down. Their churches are being burnt up. They're living now like they was living in Paul's time when they had to have church, when they had to have church from house to house. So these are the immovable things. How are you going to be able to survive these things that are coming down the pipeline if you haven't been preparing yourself, if you haven't been spending time with God, if you've been spending more time on Facebook, worrying about what they're posting on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, if you've been spending more time investing most of your time in the world, trying to keep up what's going on in the world, if you haven't been spending time where it really matters, and where it really matters is with God and not with the things that are going on in the kingdom of me. We know what's going to happen to the kingdom of me. That when Jesus comes back, there is that the kingdom of men is going to cease to exist. And so we shouldn't be dismayed or shocked or caught off guard when these things are taking place. Oh, the furlough and all this and that. God told you that these things were going to happen. He told you not to put your trust in men. That's why people are dismayed, because you have men that count the word of God to be foolish. And so they put their trust in the systems of men. It's because we have put our trust in the system of men. When we get caught up in it, then we want to say, where is God? God said, I've been here all along. But you didn't want to be a part of me. You didn't want to trust in me. You didn't want to believe in me. God said, I've been here all along. But when you felt like times was going good, when you felt like that you had it all together, all under your control, you didn't want me to have no say so in the decision that you was making, in the things that you was partaking in. So God, like, I've been here all the time. What you mean? Where have I been? No, where have you been? We have to realize that it's time for the believer to face up so we can level up to a point where God is, so we can think like God, so we can see things like God sees things, so we can be able to perceive things like God perceives things, not like mere men, not moved by emotions, not moved by what we see in the physical, but we'll move past the physical, and then we're able to play on a level playing ground with the enemy, because now we're getting spiritual insight, not just physical insight. We're not being deceived like men are being deceived. We're not being deceived through the airways of the news media, through the airways of social media, because the enemy is sending all type of messages out and deceiving people, because they can't perceive past what they see, what is happening in the physical, because the only thing they can see is what is before them. But God wants us to face up so we can level up. And so when we look at faith, and you look at what took place before I close with some of the men and women of God that actually trust God with an unwavering faith, no matter what the circumstances were, no matter what they were facing. When you look at people like Rahab, who saved a whole family because she was a woman of faith. Yeah, she was a prostitute. But isn't that funny that the prostitute believed when the scholars didn't, who was in her town? Everybody else died. The smartest people that were supposed to be of humanity in that city died. But a prostitute family gets saved because she believed God. When she heard the word of God, she believed it. And so that's what faith would do. The Bible let us know that there is nothing impossible for God if to those who believe. God needs somebody to believe him, because that's the only thing that's going to please God. That's the only thing that turns God on. Not your temper tantrum, not how you feel based off of your own understanding. When God has already told you that as the heaven is higher than the earth, my ways and my thoughts are higher than yours. So God ain't saying he's telling you to try to figure him out. He's telling you to trust him by faith. When we look at Abraham, a man that left his family at 75 years old because God told him he had something felt far better for him. He didn't question God. He didn't look back. He did exactly what God told him to do, and his ancestors and him received the promise. When we look at David, a man that should have never been in the position that he was in, God called him as a teenager. He was not physically fit. He was not the most beautiful one. He was not the most built one as for a statue. He was not the smartest person. He'd never been king if it was left up to men. Because the prophet was about to anoint was going to anoint his other brother instead of anointing him. As a matter of fact, David didn't fit the part so much that they had forgot about him, the dad, the prophet, and everything. God had to actually have a one-on-one session with the prophet and teach him something about how God do things versus how men do things. That I'm not like men. That I don't look at the outer exterior. I look at the heart. And so this is the reason why it's so important that we be on the same wavelength as God. That when we face up, that we're going to level up to the point where God is, and that we're going to be able to see things and perceive things the way that God was able to see things and perceive things. This is the reason why these men and women of God was able to do this. Rahab lived in a town that worshiped idols. They did not have the Ten Commandments. They did not have the oracles of God. They was worshiping idol God. But when she heard the word of God, she didn't go to Bible study on a regular basis. She didn't go to Sunday school on a regular basis. But Rahab went down as a hero of faith because she did more with less. And some of us have more. We got the word of God. We have the full Bible. We go to church every Sunday. We go to Bible study. And we still won't believe. But it didn't take all of that for Rahab. Only thing she had to do, she just heard and she believed. She heard what God had did before they got to Jericho. She heard how God had ran through all of these other nations that was more powerful than Israel, who was not a nation, who was not militarily built to even fight a war. She knew that this God had to be real. So what is it going to take for us to face up and level up to the point where God is at? That when we can rise up and sit from a position spiritually where Jesus is sitting at, that's how it's supposed to be. And now we could actually operate as kingdom kids, not operating as mere men, not operating as the men of the earth do. A very important thing for the believer in 2019, because what is about to happen in the kingdom of men and the things that are about to take place in this world is going to be critical. It's going to be critical for the believer to actually shore up their relationship with God, making sure that they're spending the ample amount of time so that the deception that is going forth, there is so much deception that is going on, especially in America. This news media, deception. I don't care what news media, news you watch, it's deception. Facebook, Twitter, all of this deception. Everybody got their opinion on everything, but nobody went back to ask God what's really going on. Everybody got an opinion. That's how you know it's so much deception, because everybody got it. You go on social media, everybody got an opinion. Everybody know everything. But they know everything, but they can't fix their own situation. But I know everything. But I can't fix the situation, but I know everything. I know what's going on in the White House. I know what's going on in Congress. But if you knew all that, why you can't fix it? So it's a contradiction to what people are saying is a contradiction to what the reality is. They're being deceived. They're being deceived if they think that they can fix their own situation and their situation still haven't changed. They went through 2018, left out of 2017, said they was going to be better in 2018, left out of 2018. Now saying in 2019 that they're going to be better and they ain't going to go through what they went through in 2018 and 2017. But we have to realize that only hope we have is in Jesus. We can't save ourselves. We don't have the method, the strategies, the plans to be able to survive the schemes and the tricks of the enemy. The only one that has these methods and plans are God. And that's why it's so important for us to face up so we can be able to level up to the place where Jesus is, and we can be able to operate from a kingdom perspective instead of operating from a human perspective or a natural perspective, which is limited by time, space, matter, all of these things that limit us because of this body that we're in. And so I just encourage everybody that it's imperative that the church face up so they can level up so we won't be deceived, so we won't get caught off guard, so we won't get involved in some things that we thought that might have been of God that really wasn't. And so I thank y'all for allowing me to come before y'all and speak tonight. And so that's all that I have tonight.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We must have faith. And I thank you so much, Minister Nigel. It's just so amazing that in this time of all of the turmoil that our men are beginning to rise up and are beginning to speak and are beginning to declare the word of God. And if we needed men, we need them right now to be the ones that are saying, stop looking at the world and look to God. And so I appreciate the word tonight. It's truly uplifting, and I want you to end tonight praying for the men of God to begin to rise up and declare the word of God. I want you to pray tonight, Minister Nigel, for those that are not in their rightful order or in their rightful place that God is trying to get us in so that we can begin to do the kingdom work that needs to be done. Amen.
Amen. So, Father God, we come before your throne of grace on this night, Lord God, thanking you because we understand that you are God and that there is no other, Father God. And so, Father God, we're lifting up men, Father God, and this nation and distant nations, Lord God. We're lifting up men, Father God, and positions of leadership, Lord God, and that they will understand and realize in Jesus' name that you are the one that has given them that authority, Father God. And so, Father God, we pray that men would have right relationship with you. Father God, we pray that men's hearts would be changed and men's hearts would be compelled, Father God, to follow after your son, Jesus Christ, Father God. We're praying for men, Lord God, because we understand that the enemy's plan, his strategic plan, Father God, is to take out men, Father God. And so, Father God, it's not by chance or by mistake, it's not by accident or coincidence that men are being taken out an alarming rate, Father God, that men are being killed, Father God. And so, Father God, we're asking that, Father God, that you would intervene by your spirit, that you would raise up leaders, Lord God, amongst men, Father God, that would be able to lead men, that would be able to speak into men's lives, Father God, that would bring life back to them, that would bring purpose, that would bring destiny, Lord God, that a voice that would be clarion, Father God, that would be specifically for them, Father God, that would draw them unto your son, Jesus Christ, that they may be able to proclaim with their own mouth, Lord God, that you are God and that your son, Jesus Christ, is Lord, that they would experience your son, Jesus Christ, in a way that they have never experienced him before, Lord God. And so, Father God, we pray for truth, Lord God, that men's ears, that their spiritual ears, Father God, will be open so that they may be able to hear truth, Father God. We come against everything, every false doctrine, Father God, that are drawing men out of the will and the purpose of God, that are drawing them away from Jesus Christ. Everything that have risen itself up to continue or to try to make itself be above the name of Jesus Christ. But Father God, we declare by the blood of Jesus, Lord God, that nothing that fights or contend with the blood should win, Lord God. And so Father God, we're pleading the blood of Jesus Christ upon men right now, Lord God. Men that have lost hope, men that are about to give up, Lord God, men, Lord God, don't know how they're going to get out, but they have a desire to get out, Lord God. And so, Father God, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord God, because we understand the blood is able to restore, is able to renew, it is able to actually restore, Lord God, and cause a great awakening, Lord God. And so, Father God, we're praying for the spiritual ears of men, Lord God, that they would be able to hear your voice according to your spirit, Father God, and that your spirit will begin to minister unto their hearts, Lord God, that whatever the need is, Lord God, that you would meet the need spiritually first, Lord God, because we understand that when you meet our spiritual needs, when you restore us, when you give us hope, when you give us courage, Lord God, that then we're able to go out and accomplish and conquer those things in this earth, Father God, that you have designed for us to conquer, Lord God. And so, Father God, I pray for our young men. I pray for our young boys, Lord God, and our communities, Father God, and communities all over this world, all over this nation, Father God. I'm praying for our young men, Lord God, that you would keep them, that you would strengthen them, that you would give them examples of that they would be able to see a godly example of a man, Lord God, that, Father God, that they would be able to see right examples. So generational curses, Father God, won't continue to pass down through the bloodline, Lord God, that they won't repeat the same thing that their fathers repeated, that they won't repeat the same things that their grandfathers did. But, Father God, that they will have the knowledge and the wisdom of you that comes from your word, Father God, and that they will be able to take a stance, Lord God, so generations after them would be free, Lord God. And so, Father God, we thank you, we love you, because we understand that it's because of your faithfulness, Lord God, that you were faithful until the time it was appointed time for Jesus to come. And so, Father God, because of your faithfulness, we have hope. For your word let us know it was because you loved the world so much that you sent Jesus Christ, Lord God, that men would not perish, Lord God. And so, Father God, we understand that you sent Jesus because of your undying, your unfailing love for men, because of your faithfulness, Lord God, for your rich and unfailing love, Lord God. And so, Father God, I thank you because your love is runs deep. It covers a multitude of sin, Lord God. When your love showed up, it covered the sins of the world, Lord God. Your love covered the multitude of sins, Lord God, from when the first man was created until when the last man would stand upon the earth, Lord God. And so, Father God, I thank you because of who you are, because you are great. You are awesome. You are El Yon, Father God. You are the Most High God, Lord God, and that there is none that can compare to you. And so, Father God, we ask all these blessings by faith. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. I am so grateful for you being on tonight and for you speaking into the lives of men and women tonight. It has truly been a blessing to have you, and I thank Co-Pastor Laws for allowing you to fill in at such a time as this when a word from a man of God is truly needed. And so we are grateful to have you on the Light of Portland broadcast. You don't have to be such a stranger. You are welcome anytime. Amen. Amen. And so those of you that have tuned in tonight, we truly are grateful for all of you that support the Light of Portland broadcast. It would not be what it is without you. Continue to pray for Pastor Black, who is under the weather tonight, and continue to pray for the Light of Portland broadcast. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend, tell someone about the Light of Portland broadcast so that we can continue to change the hearts and the lives of those that we are able to minister to. So I pray that the Lord would bless each and every one of you. I pray that the Lord would keep you. I pray that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you, lifting his countenance unto you and giving you both peace and prosperity, both now and forevermore. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Until next Sunday evening, thank you, Lord God, and good night.